Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Kat Napsok for another edition of Star Wars Rank. Today, just me ranking things in Star Wars. Going to be a little bit of a different episode, I think, for Center Friends. So hello, thank you so much for supporting us, being on the journey. We are in our 6th year of doing Force Center, approaching 1,000 episodes overall. We just hit 300 on the main show, and we just, whether you've been listening to us from maybe even before Joseph, Jennifer, and I started Force Center, or recently popping on board, we just love you here, being with us and sharing the celebration of the greatest saga ever told. And that's kind of my focus today. I wanted to go back to the beginning. I wanted to rank and talk about my 5 favorite Star Wars memories when I was a little bit younger. And look, there's a lot to probably list. I could go back in some of them, to be sure. I've even mentioned and discussed on Force Center before, perhaps even on Spotlight Star Wars, or the main show. They're part of my tapestry of Star Wars building blocks, and I'll share them every now and then. I've definitely written about some of them in the book Why We Love Star Wars, and they're that powerful. And I just was thinking today, I knew this was going to be a solo episode of Star Wars Ranked, and we love doing it all. Vehicles, favorite villains. Joseph and I doing the action figure ranking one has been one of my favorite journeys, just kind of looking back on all the figures up until the recent lines and just discovering what those figures and those memories of getting those figures mean to us there. But today I wanted to go almost back to the beginning and just kind of look at how I became a Star Wars fan, quite literally. What made it jump off the screen for me? What made it grow and what made it just, I keep saying like the building blocks, but what kind of built this strong foundation of being a Star Wars fan? And as we always like to say here in Force Center, this is, going to be things that are from my journey as a Star Wars fan. And I always say and I always feel that even though it is uniquely my journey, it is a shared journey. We all come to Star Wars from those different points. We love celebrating and talking about the entry points into Star Wars. For me, I am an original trilogy kid, born in the 70s, raised in the 80s. Ah, the glory days of wall-to-wall Kenner action figures in the toy stores. Kids, let me tell you, it was everything you would think it would be if you didn't get to experience. You might be a prequel baby. You might be a special edition kid, which I actually believe is one of the underrated Star Wars generations. Those that were like yanked to the theater in 1997 by either an older brother or sister or mother or father or family member or just friends going, you got to see this Star Wars thing. And to see it in the theater, as a lot of us saw it again for the first time and for so many seeing the special editions and that being the first time they see Star Wars, I think that's an underrated entry point into Star Wars. And and all the entry points we talk about. But you might be a sequel fan that came to him of all ages. You might be a Clone Wars fan that was the first time you really explored Star Wars. And one day we will be saying, yeah, there's going to be Star Wars fans that first were exposed to Star Wars because of Forces of Destiny or Galaxy of Adventures, Star Wars Resistance, any of those things. We love talking about it. So I'm going to share mine. And I hope, as always, that you can find part of your own Star Wars soul and your own Star Wars journey in what I'm about to talk about here today. So we are going back here. I hope you enjoy my personal memories, my Star Wars memories that helped build me into the fan I am today. What kind of fan I am today? Someone that just absolutely loves Star Wars. What's your favorite Star Wars movie or TV show or book or comic, Ken? All of them. All of them. Even the ones that challenge me. Even the ones that sometimes don't grab me as much or fall flatter than the others. Doesn't matter. I'm here for Star Wars, and let's go back to where it all began. With my number 5 personal favorite Star Wars memory, we are going back to the 70s. We're going to Orange County, California, where I was born and raised. It, quite frankly, is probably on the cusp. It might actually be into the 80s. It might be 80, 81. I don't know. That's kind of the point of this memory. I don't really know. I've mentioned before, going to the drive-in, seeing Star Wars in 1977, I'm one. I'm goo-goo gagging in the back of the Volkswagen van my parents had me swaddled in. I had no memory of it. But by 2, 3, 4, 5... you know, things are around. You're seeing action figures. You're seeing things on TV, and you're seeing, you know, you don't know what you're seeing sometimes. I feel by 6 or 7, you're starting to really soak it up more. By 9, 10, 11, 12, you're becoming either a consumer of pop culture and living in the world, and you're starting to really understand, and you can roam around the landscape of pop culture as a functioning member of it. But 4 or 5, you're just taking it all in. It's all imagery, really. And I've said before, but like I used to see Battlestar Galactica on TV and think that was Star Wars. I used to think Buck Rogers on TV and think that was Star Wars, because I used to see Star Wars in pictures or magazines or maybe a trailer on TV. I don't know, a Kenner commercial, and I think that was all the same. I remember going to some family members' houses, and some of my cousins had Star Wars action figures, Battlestar Galactica action figures. I think they even had Dukes of Hazzard action figures. And I thought Boss Hogg was a Sith Lord. He might have been, for all I know. And it wasn't until, again, now I think about it, probably after Empire Strikes Back, Orange County, California, there was a family that lived near us, friends of my parents, which is so weird to think, because back then, of course, they all seemed ancient. They were probably in their mid-20s. My dad might have barely been 30. My mom might have been 30 as well. Age is a weird thing, is it not? Anyways, we're at a gathering, a picnic of some sort. I remember there was a lot of people. I've always been kind of a shy kid, especially if there's no microphones around. I started broadcasting at 3 with my dad on a reel-to-reel tape. If you didn't put a microphone in front of me, I just didn't know what to do. And I still, quite frankly, don't know what to do if I'm not talking into a microphone or staring into a camera or on a comedy stage. I am an awkward, quiet, stoic individual. So I was at this gathering, a lot of families, a lot of kids. And I remember just kind of gravitating towards the living room by myself. And I think my dad was probably trailing me to make sure I was okay, probably on orders by my mother. And the man of the house, the dad of the house, I don't even remember his name. I could probably get that from my parents. I do remember his wonderful wife. Her name was Carol. And she was of Hawaiian descent. And I remember there was one point where I, as a youngster, we're getting personal here, my mom had to borrow her milk to feed me. This is how close they were as friends, okay? This is what was going on. Crazy times in the 70s. So here I am, quiet little Kenny, sitting down in the living room, not knowing what to do, feeling a little left out. And my my dad's friend, says, I can show him something. I can show him something. Here, hold on. Let me go get something. And he comes back down the stairs. It's a two-story house. I remember that. And he comes back down with a golden case and then a dark black case. And he starts coming closer. And I see they're like faces on them. One's kind of a big-eyed, golden kind of robot. The other's kind of a menacing little, looks like a robot as well, but just kind of dark and menacing. So, of course, by now, y'all know where I'm going with this. It was the C-3PO and Darth Vader classic Kenner carrying cases. And this is not reprints. This is not something he got off of eBay. This is something he probably went out to get, like a Woolworths or a Toys R Us or whatever was the toy store of the day in Orange County in the late 70s and early 80s. And then he did something and I will never forget, with my dad there kind of like, oh, hey, Kenny, look at this. He cracked open the cases. And there proudly displayed was every Kenner figure of the time. Now, my dad's always been a casual Star Wars fan. He just loves big event movies. But back then, they weren't super they weren't super Star Wars fans. They didn't sit down and kind of infuse me with the love of Star Wars. It just kind of happened naturally. But it might have been one of something about this moment might have been one of the key moments, is why I'm ranking it here. And I have such a foggy memory of it. But I just remember, and he's pointing at every figure. I don't know what I'm seeing. Hoth Luke? Bespin Luke? I don't know. I don't really have a detailed memory. I could say, I guess I remember seeing Stormtroopers or an Ugnaught or Yoda. I don't really know. I just remember the carrying cases. But I do remember every figure and every section in there filled to the brim with Kenner plastic and Kenner molding and Kenner Star Wars toys. And he explained every figure. Explained it to my dad, explained it to me. Again, it's so foggy, I don't remember. But I do remember the joy in his face, and I do remember him having a story, essentially, for every figure he told me. I can only imagine what he's saying. Oh, this is a Hoth, this is a snowtrooper. This is Han Solo in his Bespin pants. This is Leia Organa in the Bespin gown. Who knows? Who knows what he was saying? And they were probably the telescope and lightsabers. They were probably, who knows, it was probably the Jawa with the vinyl cape and the non-vinyl cape, but who knows? And I don't know what happened to this guy. We moved from Orange County in 1982. I'll have to give my folks a call and say, whatever happened to those neighbors? Because I'd love to maybe talk to him and if he was if he's still around and get his feel on Star Wars now and get his story about what he felt as someone in his late 20s and 30s experiencing Star Wars as it exploded onto the screen and then falling in love with the figures. Because I grew up and was growing up in the 80s of the big toy boom, He-Man and G.I. Joe and My Little Pony and all those things. You know, I just, it almost is, I guess I could almost take it all for granted that the toys were just there and they were part of the experience. But we all know the story. In late 70s, it wasn't part of the experience. Toys existed, movie toys existed, but Kenner took a shot. The mail-away campaign almost sunk it, but the shot was taken and the shot succeeded. It hit the bullseye. And Star Wars toys become something just, as we all know by now, something we couldn't even comprehend. And I'll never forget that moment, as foggy as it truly is. I'm probably filling in some of the blanks, but the vibrant memory of those Kenner Karen cases being brought down the stairs and every figure having a story is something that I always will remember and will always feel a sense of gratitude to. That started me on this all-encompassing Star Wars journey. It wasn't just a TV show. I mean, I like TV shows. I was a big fan of Chips, big fan of The Muppet Show, big fan of the Mandrell Sisters. Who doesn't love a good variety show? But nothing seeped into my heart like Star Wars did. And that's kind of the earliest memory of it, and which is why it's my number five. My number four favorite personal Star Wars memory is jumping a few years. We've moved up to the central coast of California from SoCal. And I grew up in a town called Arroyo Grande, California, near a city of Pismo Beach. A lot of you, Pismo Beach gets mentioned a lot in pop culture. Clueless, Big Lebowski. I think Desi and Lucy took a trip there once. I think Roadrunner, Bugs Bunny, Pismo Beach always pops on up there. San Luis Obispo, that whole area up there. So I was in elementary school at a place called Margaret Harlow Elementary. And again, this is about 83. This is post-Return of the Jedi, 83, 84. And, you know, different times. Yeah, you kids these days, if you're on a playground, you've got some nice, safe, plastic playground equipment to roam around on. You've got some bright reds and yellows and blues. If you hit your head, maybe it's not even sand anymore. You might have a nice safe rubber, mat to hit your head on if you're playing around, you know? So, and I don't begrudge any of you, but I grew up in an era where they said kids, need a little, some playground toys during recess. Got it. Here's some hot metal that will basically catch fire in the sun. Here's, some giant swings with big chains on them. I don't know. They can jump out of them at 50 feet if they really get them going. It doesn't matter to us. We just need them to get some exercise. They're drinking from hoses anyways, right? We had this absolute monstrosity of a jungle gym, whatever you want to call it. They did eventually remove it. Who knows how many kids got hurt on it. Not only was it, this is first, second, third, fourth grade type of era. I don't know, I'm 3 feet if I'm a foot. You're still kind of small, but you had to climb up to this wood monstrosity. It was wood, like not sanded down, safe wood. It was like we found this in a forest. Bigfoot might have been using it. It's yours now. And it was up on poles, wooden poles too, about four, at least four, but I think about six poles holding this up. You had to get on these wood platforms to climb up to it. And there was a slide. Oh, yeah. There was a slide. It was just a slab of metal bolted down on a slanted piece of wood. I envy the generations that followed that they didn't have to get the splinters or the sun-scorched metal burns that we did. But I guess it made us hardy individuals. But the benefit of this was this monstrosity of a piece of equipment was almost exactly like a skiff. The same skiffs floating around the Sarlacc pit in my favorite movie of all time in this era, Return of the Jedi, the one that changed my life. So naturally, as kids do during recess, we reenact our favorite things. And I've mentioned some of this before. I was big on this. And I guess proof that I would eventually get into comedy and writing and creative endeavors. We didn't just hit the playground. If you were friends with me, we did not just hit the playground and just start running around like crazy. No, no. We assigned roles and we kind of said what we were going to do. Yeah, look, sometimes we might be G.I. Joe characters, other times Mask or Robotech or a fateful day at my Montessori school, actually in Orange County before we moved where I made my friends reenact scenes from MASH. That's right. I literally had some of my friends run around ducking because the helicopters were bringing injured soldiers. Yeah, playtime with Kenny on the recess playgrounds was a little different. So I would lead the charge often of us reenacting the best sequence of all time in my head at 7, 8 years of age, the Sarlacc pit rescue sequence. We'd assign roles. You're Luke, you're Han, you're Lando, you're this, you're that. And one of the unfortunate things growing up in the era of, you know, boys' toys and girls' toys, this silly notion that sides had to be picked and that toys were gendered. We lost out. On probably, who knows, the countless little girls on that playground who probably wanted to join us. And the notion of girls have cooties was not an exact science, but we'd heard some theories that this was true, so I understand it. But deep down, I think we would have enjoyed it too, because we needed a Leia. We needed a Leia. And then, you know, we would assign the role of Leia to someone, and they didn't question playing Leia. But, you know, the back of the heads are just, we wanted a more complete picture. You know, we're trying to figure this all out at 7, 8 years old in 1983 and 1984. So I lament probably the amount of young girls on that playground who felt that they couldn't ask to join, and we felt that we couldn't ask to join them. So that, too, is something I'm thankful has changed. But back then, we'd reenact the Sarlacc pit sequence. And to jump down into the Sarlacc, if you want one of the kids assigned the role of a Wee Kwei or just a henchman, or maybe if you're lucky, Boba Fett, you had to jump down probably about 10 feet into the hard sand. Hopefully you didn't sprain an ankle or break a finger on the land, but you'd land and you have to lay down there and play dead. And whoever the hero was the day of Luke, they'd have their fun whizzing and whirring around with a lightsaber. Some great space work, by the way, for improv experts, in their hands. And we'd go until the bell rung. Now, if we finished, we might start again, or maybe we'd add a little wrinkle to it. Maybe a Gamorrean guard got the drop on Luke this time around. I don't know. That'd be part of the fun. But that was, for all generations, hitting the playgrounds, reenacting your favorite characters, TV shows, movies, yeah, maybe even your sports heroes with a Nerf football or something like that. It's all part of it. It's all part of just you daydreaming and thinking outside of your own world. In a way, it's us looking at the twin suns of our own lives and thinking of the larger world out there. You just might want to be on Tatooine, or maybe you want to be in Yankee Stadium. It's all kind of the same to me. But I remember that. It's so vibrant. I mention it a lot. I've written about it a lot because it really established this idea that these were our stories. These were the characters we knew so well. These were the moments that were inspiring us. And we wanted to be part of it. It wasn't just a simple daydream. It was like a goal. I want to be a Jedi. I want to be a smuggler. I want to be a Gamorrean guard. I want to work for Jabba. Didn't matter. And it was fun to be part of it. It was fun to live in the Star Wars world up until that recess bell rung. I'll always remember that. Thankfully, I never really got hurt, though. It was close calls, though. That's my number four. My number three personal favorite Star Wars memory is around the same era. It's a fateful trip to my local library. Now, this is interesting because if you listen to me long enough, you'll hear at some point that I'm not a huge fan of Star Wars Legends and EU and blah, 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 blah. I say that a lot. That's just happened as I got older. It happened in this modern era where I just feel a lot of the EU stuff doesn't capture the real heart of some of what George wanted to do. But I do like a lot of the characters and the stories, and am forever thankful for Thrawn and Zahn bringing him to the world with that series of novels and just kind of reigniting the love of Star Wars for many. And again, talking about entry points, those EU stories, those EU video games and books could very well be your first foray into Star Wars. And for that, I am thankful that that brought you to us here. Over time, it would change for me. But on this fateful trip to the library, I found some Star Wars books. Now, I've had some copies of the novelizations of New Hope, Empire, and Return of the Jedi since that era. Shout out to Nan's Pre-Owned Books in Grover Beach, California. I still have them. I still have my name, Kenny, scribbled on the inside of the book to my old phone number just in case I lost them. Please return these to Kenny. But beyond that, on this particular day, because I had read those, and I had some of the Star Wars like picture books at the school library, and I've talked about some of those in the past. There was another adventure one. The name always escapes me. Someone in the past has sent me a picture of it. It's got like there's a exploding sun. There's X-Wings. It's like Luke and Leia. It's totally not canon. It was like Star Wars is the only one we got, right? Okay, Splinter of the Mind's Eye. We'll do this crazy book for kids. Luke and Leia are married in this one almost. It was a weird book. But beyond that, on this fateful day of the library, I pulled off the shelf two Star Wars books. I was surprised. I mean, this is obviously not the internet age. It's not social media age. I wasn't old enough to have Starlog magazine or anything like that. I just didn't know these Star Wars books existed. They're in the library, so they clearly had been released prior to that. And it was Lando Calrissian and his adventures. I was just, you know, learning about Lando. I'd seen him Return of the Jedi. I heard tell of some other tales at a Cloud City. More on that later about me not seeing Empire yet. But I just remember utter just shock and surprise and joy of there's more Star Wars stories. It goes beyond the movies. And there was a old bathtub. I don't know if it's still there. I haven't been to this library for years. Though my parents now live just a few blocks away from it. There was a giant old like Victorian style bathtub in the middle of the library in the kids section, and it had carpet in it, so you could just kind of crawl in there, lay down, hopefully not catch any germs and give them to your parents, and just read the books while your parents went into the library and did library things. And so I got a lot of times it was full with other ragamuffin kids there, but this day I got there it was the path to this bathtub was clear. So I climbed in with this Lando book, two of them. And guess what? To this day, I don't really know the title of the books. And I know in Solo Star Wars Story, there's some deep cut references to these books, and they're all there. I've never really revisited them. I just remember cracking open these books. And now I'll flash forward a little bit. I was a little confused. Han and Leia and Luke and Chewbacca didn't seem to be there. Darth Vader wasn't chasing Lando. You know, my young 8-9-year-old brain, I was a little confused about what was going on. I just knew, though, and this is what was the lasting effect, I just knew that the galaxy was big. It was full of other adventures and other characters, and I needed to know these answers. I needed to connect with these stories. Lando has always been one of my favorite characters, though this book kind of confused me again. I thought Lando lived on Cloud City. It seemed, and now he's flying around in the Falcon. I thought that was Han. I know Han said something about him. I'm confused. It didn't matter. The content didn't matter. I just never forget the joy of realizing the story of Star Wars went beyond what I had watched over and over again. That was inspiring in its own way. And again, well, I'm always thankful for anything Legends in EU, anything that helped foster and grow the love of Star Wars beyond the movies. That's why it's my number three. My number two moment, all right, I'm cheating a little bit and going to high school. Oh, we're in the early and mid-90s range here. Oh, yeah, I graduated high school in 1994. I can barely remember that, but it's there. And again, this is a different era. I am really happy, some of you maybe younger listeners, growing up in a different era where pop culture is culture. Pop culture art is art, and it is who we are. And you can celebrate it way more freely. Doesn't mean there's not problems and doesn't mean there's not gatekeeping and a lot of those kind of negative things. But it's a better time, I think. And I'll take that. We're always going to move forward. I always say no matter what came before, we're here now. And let's build from here and learn from what has gone wrong or gone good in the past and keep growing and keep going forward. And so it is with fandom and so it is with nerddom. But I grew up in an era where, yeah, you were, as Joseph and I were discussing recently here on Four Centers, yeah, you know, you could be teased, you could be bullied. You felt you maybe had to hide that love of Star Wars. And as I got a little older, and I was one of those kids that did pick up an interest in sports, particularly baseball, and it's all part of it. It's all the same muscle, like I always say. But Star Wars is a shared language. It's a shared experience, like we're hopefully connecting all of you, or maybe connecting to parts of my stories today, but it's a shared language. It is a shared knock on the door of a speakeasy that we're all either inside or wanting to get in. And in high school, during the early 90s, with the Zahn books kind of it, and Star Wars in this kind of dark period where it was this thing. It was almost a relic. It was a thing I enjoyed still, of course. Oh, I'd watch the movies on the weekends, put in the VHS tapes, or watch some of the making of docs, the early versions, or thumb through some of the Star Wars magazines I had. But it wasn't something I openly talked about a lot at school. Talked about other things. It wasn't that you just were trying to fit in. There's just a lot of competing interests for young minds, of course, as my mom would always warn. But I did find a group of friends, and we all had a little love of things like this. The Star Treks, the pro wrestlings, Star Wars. And I had a friend, Mark was his name, big Star Wars fan, still is. Connect a little bit on Facebook every now and then. And we were at the end of a lunch period at high school. We were both going to different parts of the campus. There was a weird intersection at the campus of Arroyo Grande High School during this time. I think it might even still be there. It was just the school had expanded at one point in the 60s or 70s. And so you had the main campus and you had a side campus. If you had a class there, you had to budget some time to get to those classrooms on time. You had to cross just a asphalt wasteland of handball courts and basketball courts for PE, past the football field and into the other section of the classrooms. It was off of a street called Orchard Street, so it was Orchard. Oh, I got a class in Orchard, and I got to go. So my friend Mark had a fifth period class in Orchard, and I had one more in the main part of the campus. And we were just leaving our little lunch area with friends, and there was a crowd. It always was this intersection, this crowded intersection of students trying to go, backpacks hitting shoulders and, jocks and nerds being forced to walk in each other's passes. It was just a LA 405 freeway traffic jam of young humans. So Mark starts going off to the left. I start going straight. And we look at each other. We make eye contact. And he's kind of being hustled and bustled away, almost as if he's against his will being pushed toward Orchard. And I'm kind of walking the other way. And he looks at me, and I look at him, and he just says, "That's the last mistake you'll ever make." And that's all it took. Just eye contact. Just the situation. And we both knew that this was Luke and Han being shuffled out of Jabba's palace. I guess was Jabba in the situation, and I was completely fine with it. And I love that. I love those moments. I love the shared Star Wars language. I love that about pop culture. There's a point in time I could probably have an entire conversation with a couple friends of mine in Simpsons quotes. Star Wars is definitely part of that. I've written before about, a love of Hardware Wars was something that connected another friend of mine, my good buddy Joel, in high school, same era. I made a reference to ham salad, and he said, "Wait a minute, are you talking about Hardware Wars and Augie Ben Doggy and all that?" Yeah, absolutely. The Death Star is a basketball. Let's do it. And that connected us. It's a shared experience again. And you often think that you're alone, particularly in this era, but I think in any era, I should say. I think you think you're alone, and you think you see something. You think you are the only person who knows the tale of Wedge Antilles. You're the only person that knows this particular moment. You're the only one that saw that stormtrooper bonk his head. And then, and it's not in an ego way. It's not like I'm the only one with this knowledge. No, no, no. You just think I'm on an island. I'm enjoying being on this island. I wish there were other people here, but it is just me, right? And then slowly but surely, you start finding those shared connections. And that's the power of it all. You can just look across a crowded high school campus, and you and your friend know that much like everything else in life, this is just like Star Wars. Thanks, Mark. Thanks for that memory. That's why it's number 2 on my list of my personal favorite Star Wars memories.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
A lot of times here on Star Wars Ranked at this slot in the show, we'll take a break and reset and come back with runner-ups. I was thinking about it. There's too many runner-ups. It's basically my whole life, right? I was trying to focus on the little moments that just continue to build that love of Star Wars and make it bigger. and make it seem like this is a world that I always want to come back to, need to come back to, especially long before the era of podcasts and YouTube shows and all these things that I love being a part of and consume as well. Back when it was just, it was you and your mind and your heart. So with that in mind, we're going to my number one personal favorite Star Wars memory. We are going post-Return of the Jedi. Probably about 1984. Halley's Comet was above us, looking down. And I had yet to see Empire Strikes Back. Yeah. I had a weird journey with Star Wars. In the drive-in for New Hope with no memory of it. Saw Return of the Jedi first and absolutely fell in love with everything about that movie I'd just seen. Read the books, got some behind-the-scenes magazines, had the figures. But I hadn't seen Empire Strikes Back by about 1984. I remember distinctly asking my mom, you know, you're growing up, your parents are the experts of it all. Asking, okay, but what, when Luke's talking about this, what's he mean? What's Yoda talking about when he rushed off to face Vader? What's going on here? How did Han get in that carbonite? I don't understand. Now, I had seen A New Hope, as we all would come to know it eventually, on TV. We had, like a lot of kids growing up in that era, your copy of Star Wars might have actually been the VHS tape that your dad ran or your mom ran, and you went to commercial breaks. Star Wars looked a little different. Everyone's worried about special editions, extended editions, director cuts, and everything. I had the TV cut. Like, you know, I was happy with it. So we just missed Empire. And again, my parents weren't Star Wars fans. They didn't think you didn't see the second one. It doesn't matter. And I would pepper my mom with these questions, and she just didn't know the answer. She would try. She gagged. She gave it her best. I didn't ask my dad because he didn't really watch them either. But finally, during that summer, I don't want to say demanded. I wasn't a demanding kid, but I made it pretty clear that I think it was time I needed to see Empire Strikes Back. This was a key chapter in the story here. I gotta get these answers. And that's what it was. I mentioned when I was talking about the Lando book, just realizing the story is bigger than what I saw on the screen and that there was other stories and other characters and other answers to what's going on out there. Answers are big. And for me personally, the way I consume Star Wars even now to this minute is answers. I want to know. It's canon, sure, but I'm not a canon junkie. I'm not a lore junkie. I just want to know this story. I'm in this world because all the things that I've listed here today, I'm in this world. It's so real to me. So when I see something new or I hear of something new, I want to know. I don't just want to watch new Star Wars. I just don't want to see if all the theories are right, not just mine, but any of the theories out there. And I love a good theory. I just want to know what happens. I want those answers. If it's a Disney Plus show like The Acolyte, man, I want to know The Acolyte. What 200 years ago or at the end of the High Republic era? And I don't know what it's going to be. I'm fingers crossed for something with the Night Sisters, but I don't know. I don't know, but I want to know the answers of what's going on. Kenobi in the desert. Give me that series. Not because I have a theory what it means. I have an idea. I have a feeling of what I think the series could be about emotionally. We've talked about it a lot here in Force Center, but I don't know. We don't really know. So I want the answers of what was Kenobi doing during that time. That fateful summer day, by the way, I was so focused on this. We were at my friend's house and my mom and dad and my friend's parents. It was kind of like, I think it was maybe it was in the springtime because it might have been around my birthday or it might have been celebrating the end of school. That's foggy. But I was a little upset because there was an uninvited kid there. There was like my friend's cousin was there, and I wasn't sure about Marty. And Marty was there, and I got a little mean. And they actually removed Marty from the party. He probably has a different memory of this. I was so upset because he was a little rambunctious, and I wanted to sit and watch Empire. I felt a little cheated. I'm not saying it wasn't a brat sometimes. Poor Marty. But this was a day that I was going to watch Empire Strikes Back. And this was the day I was going to get something that's so key to my Star Wars experience. I was going to get answers. I was going to watch what seemed like this living history document, almost a documentary of the adventures of these wars and those stars. How did Han get into carbonite? How did Luke lose his hand? Where did Lando come from? Did he really own the Falcon? Is Leia the leader of the rebellion? What's going on? And I remember seeing some imagery of the walkers, the Imperial walkers in a snow planet. What battle was that? And I'll never forget, on a tiny screen from a VHS tape, the crawl of episode 5, the story was literally rolling out in front of me. I wasn't literally taking notes, but my heart was. And that feeling stays with me today, and I have a gut feeling that it stays with a lot of you today. Anytime there's a new Star Wars story, anytime you crack open a novel, a comic book, you flip on a new episode of The Mandalorian, or you get excited because Disney's announcing new shows, things you have no idea, or the High Republic era begins, there is that one brief moment when you realize you do not know anything that's about to happen in this Star Wars story, but you're going to get the answers. And that's why on that day, that fateful, wonderful day, with all apologies to my friend's cousin Marty, who I asked to leave the viewing, I got the answers of Empire Strikes Back, and I absolutely set the tone for how I consume Star Wars on that day and every day since. And I'm thankful for it. Those are my personal favorite Star Wars memories, part of my journey. I hope they connect with yours. I hope there's some similarities. I hope there's some exact same moments. Maybe you kicked out a friend's cousin from a viewing of Empire Strikes Back. I'm sure many of you were on the playground, no matter what era you discovered Star Wars. And maybe, you know what, quite frankly, like I wrote about in Why We Love Star Wars, I think we're all Star Wars kid in a garage, in a room by ourselves, pretending to have a lightsaber fight with no one else there. I think that's all us. And if you were to tell me today I could get a half hour on the playground and bring some of my closest friends, I think we'd want to reenact Star Wars. I'd love to climb up on that skiff one more time and fight high above the Sarlacc pit. Thanks for listening to Star Wars Ranked here on Force Center. My name's Ken Napsok. For those who don't know, you can follow me at Ken Napsok or go to my website, kennapsok.com. You can also go over to the gpa.fun and join our Empire Fun that we're building over there. As far as Force Center goes, you can reach out on Force Center Pod on Twitter. Use the hashtag Star Wars Ranked to maybe share your own memory. We're on Instagram, YouTube as well. And we're also on our Facebook page at Force Center Podcast. You can go to tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter to get some merchandise. Represent Force Center wherever you go. Don't forget, you can also get an audiobook on us by going to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, try a free audiobook on us and help out the show. You can support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. Because of your support on Patreon over the years, many cool things have happened, like new theme music. It's been a little bit, but I still enjoy listening to this, what is it, in my mind, still new Star Wars ranked music created by the great Tony Thaxton, does all of our themes, and that's all because of you and your direct support on Patreon. So thank you to our Force Center friends over there. And from the Patreon page, you can get into the Discord server, which is a wonderful community of Star Wars fans. So for all of your memories and all of my memories, that's it for this week. Star Wars has been ranked.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. SoCal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.